It's a day to celebrate. Jesus is alive, and we have hope because of it. So we invite you to participate. We're going to sing a couple songs. I'm going to share a word. We're going to be here for about an hour and 10 minutes, and then people are going to take home lilies. Please take home lilies. But we invite you to join us.
Every victory is yours. everyone overcome. Everyone. What he did, Jesus, what you did, so that we are all overcomers. Let's pray. Jesus, we praise your name and we lift you high. We exalt you above the heavens. For who is like our God? There is none like you. You who gave up everything for us. You made the greatest sacrifice known to man. You came down from the heavens and dwelt among us so that we can have everything we need. You give peace freely. You give hope like nothing else. You give healing that is miraculous and life so abundantly. You came back to life and you defeated the grave. And you did all that and went through all of that pain, that betrayal of your friends, the anguish for us, all for us and to have relationship with us. And we thank you, for it is everything. All of life is wrapped up in you. God, please help us here to live like we have the power of the risen Savior living in us, that we have the peace and the abundance of the risen Savior living in us. Fear and anxiety would flee, sickness would be gone, and peace, no matter what is happening in our world, would overwhelm us. And addictions would be overcome in your name. Jesus, today there are some here who need to feel hope again, who need to come back to union with their Creator. And I ask that your grace would abound in lives here today, that your presence and pull towards you would be tangible for every individual here. God, I thank you that you don't show favorites, but you want us all. I pray that your grip, the one of a father towards his child, would be felt on our lives. And we celebrate you. For without your love and sacrifice, your mercy and your richness, we are lost. God, draw us once again. We love you and we celebrate you here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take a moment and greet somebody here this morning. Good morning again. It is wonderful to see you all here. For those of you joining us online, it is wonderful to have you joining us as well. We know there are a lot of you who maybe are new this morning and some of you who have been visiting for a few weeks. But after service, Pastor Jerry will be at the Information Center. We would love to get to know you. There's a gift for you there. So please take a few minutes after service to visit there and receive a gift and be greeted again. We are very glad you're here. For those of us who are here all the time, there are a lot of things coming up soon, so don't forget to check the calendar, check the website. If you haven't downloaded the app, you can also do that by scanning the QR code in the bulletin, and there are directions, because we get updates to all of the things that are going on here. So don't miss out. One of the big things that we have going on here, not this month, but very soon, is our Vacation Bible School Week. So I hope this is on your calendar. Children, if you have gotten a little cup from us this morning, there is a QR code there that you can scan to sign up. If you are already signed up, take that card and hand it to a friend so they can come with you as well. So July 8th through 12th, from 9 till noon, we will be here under the sea. I'm having a lot of fun and learning about friendship with God, so we hope that you will be with us and that you invite some people to come with us as well. So we thank you so much for all of you who give regularly, for those of you who have given your Easter gifts. If you want to know how to give, there are ways up on the screen right behind me, but there are boxes here you can give online, and we're so grateful for the ways that you support this community. As a reminder, Pastor Jason said it once, but there are lilies here. These are for your family to take, so please take one for your family if you would like at the end of service, because they're not going to do very well here. We would love for you to have them and bring them with you this afternoon. And so finally, we are going to say our Apostles' Creed together. This is a creed that we say each week as a reminder of what it is that we believe. The Christians, since the very first centuries of Christianity, have been saying these words to themselves and with each other as a reminder of the core things of what it means to be a Christian, of what we celebrate, of what we can agree with together. So why don't we stand and say that creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall judge to come the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in Christ's universal church, the communion of all believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That is what we believe. I would invite you to stay standing as we continue to worship.
Except for a come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is the
so that we would know you better and that we would reflect you more in our world. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. welcome to Easter. Thank you so much for being here. Before I get started, Junior Kids or Children's, whichever word it is. Junior Children's Church, 18 months and 4 years. Miss Loretta's class is dismissed. Older kids are hanging out with us today. But if you are in Miss Loretta's class and you would like to go to Kids Church, you are free to go. Happy Easter! Some people like, Happy Resurrection Day! Well, if we haven't met, my name is Jason. I'm the pastor here at Faith Discovery Church, and I want to say thank you so much for joining us today. It's an honor that you would spend your Sunday morning with us. It's all of you online. If you're joining us online, hello to you. Sometimes I forget to talk about you, but we never forget that you're a part of our family. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Love you. Encourage you during this next few minutes to discuss what I'm talking about in the chat. You are invited to talk. In fact, you guys are invited to talk to each other. It won't distract me, but please whisper. We'll go over there. Easter is a day of celebration. I'm pretty pumped today. I just need to warn you. There's good that there's not many people in the front rows. Those are the splash zone. But Easter is the day. Today, as you know, people will celebrate in many different ways. Families will get together for church and brunch or lunch or dinner or some kind of celebration for all of them. More people will attend church today than any other day this year, with the possible exception of Christmas Eve. People will inevitably talk about the weather and the hope of spring's warmth. And thank goodness it's not raining here today, because it feels like it rains every day. Don't know if you agree with that, but that's how it feels lately. This morning here at FDC, we're joining churches and people groups all over the world to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It is, at least in my opinion, the single most important event in human history. It is the day we set apart to remember that Jesus defeated death. Today, we remember that Jesus offers hope. It's the hope of the abundant life that Jesus himself talked about, that we read about in John 10:10. Life to the fullest. And today is the reason that is possible to everyone. Every person. Every person. No one is exempt from the offer that Jesus makes. No people group is exempt from Jesus' offer. No socioeconomic class is exempt from Jesus' offer. No matter what other people say about you, you are not exempt from Jesus' offer. No matter what other people think of you, no matter what you think of you, you are welcome to accept Jesus' offer of life. And since the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus was about 30 years old when he really started to actively engage and talk to the world about who he was and what he was bringing to the world. But from the start of his ministry, and we read about this in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read it in just a second, Jesus has been inviting people to follow him. From all his whole life, his whole ministry, Jesus was inviting people to follow him. So let's read about it in Matthew 4, 18 through 20. You can read on your phone. You can read in the Bible that's in the pew. You can read on the screen behind me, or you can just listen as I read. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Excuse me, this is Matthew's account of Jesus inviting people to follow him. In fact, every one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are four different accounts of Jesus' life, tell the story of Jesus inviting people to follow him. Other than the events that took place between Palm Sunday and Easter, or Resurrection, the day Jesus rose from the dead, which we call Holy Week, other than the events of Holy Week, there's only two things that all four gospel writers tell us happened. They have differing accounts, especially John is very different. But two things all four of them talk about. One, feeding the 5,000, because how could you not? I mean, that's pretty impressive. As a person who likes food,
I'm happy that Jesus is willing to feed us. The other thing, feeding the 5,000 and Jesus inviting people to follow him, inviting the disciples to follow him. Jesus has always been inviting people to follow him. In fact, Jesus is still inviting people, you and me, to follow him. Xenophon of Athens was a Greek military leader. He was a philosopher. He was a historian. He was a student of Socrates. And it's said that Socrates met Xenophon on a narrow road. And that he put his stick across the road and wouldn't allow Xenophon to pass by. Socrates asked him all kinds of questions, grilling him about all kinds of necessary things and all kinds of where things were sold in the area. When Socrates had received the answers to those questions, he asked Xenophon where men are made good and virtuous. And Xenophon said, I don't know. And Socrates said, then follow me and learn. From that time forth, Xenophon became a follower of Socrates. In a very practical sense, Socrates' stick was an obstacle for Xenophon. He couldn't get past it. And so Socrates invited him to follow him. And we're going to get to this more in a second. But when he said to follow him, he wasn't inviting him to play follow the leader. It wasn't like they were setting up a conga line and they were going to dance through Athens. When he said follow me, he was saying, learn from me. Be my student. This morning, as we've said, Jesus has been asking people to follow him since the beginning of his ministry. I ask you, what are the obstacles that you can't get past? What's the stick in your path that's preventing you from being a follower of Jesus, from accepting the invite that Jesus offers? In the ancient world, when a teacher, or in first century Judea, a rabbi, invited you to follow him, you literally followed them. Etiquette showed that they actually did play follow the leader down the street. And the students would fall in line and try to match the steps with their leader. It didn't take long for Peter and John and the rest of the disciples to realize Jesus wasn't really looking for people to directly follow behind him. Jesus was inviting them. An invitation to walk behind them was an invitation to do what I do. Jesus was inviting the disciples to do what he did. And when Jesus invited his disciples to follow him, the real translation of a disciple was a disciplined learner, an active participant. This Easter morning, as we said, we want to remember that Jesus defeated death. Death, in many ways, for many of us, is the ultimate obstacle for us. It's the thing we can't defeat. But even death was not an obstacle to Jesus. If death isn't an obstacle to Jesus, then nothing is. And so as followers of Jesus, are there obstacles that we are allowing us to hinder us in our following of Jesus because we have not really fully accepted the truth of Jesus and realized we can be an overcomer? 4 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus defeat death. And for a few moments today, I want to explore each of these scenarios from Jesus' perspective and from the perspective of people around him. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 9. Bear with me. We're going to read a little bit of scripture, but not too much. Jesus is talking about fasting and being disciplined in his faith. And in verse 18, we read, while he was saying this, so Jesus is teaching, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I can only touch his cloak, I'll be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. and the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, which was a way you would mourn with the family. So it's not a party here. It's the traditional mourning of someone who's passed. And Jesus said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. And after the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. Mark's gospel has a longer account of this miracle, if you want to read it in chapter 5. But I want to highlight a few things from this passage this morning. First, we see a person in a dad. We see a dad who believes that Jesus can save his daughter. And because of that, Jesus responds to his faith. And also he responds while he's going there to the faith of the woman who had the issue of blood. Jesus seems to respond to people with uncommon faith. And so we see the faith of a dad. Second, we see Jesus refute what others know to be true. Jesus says, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." And they laugh at him. So Jesus asks for the house to be vacated. See, Jesus seems to respond to people with uncommon faith, but when people doubt him, he distances himself from them. He separates himself from the unbelief of people. This exemplifies for me the first obstacle that I want to address this morning. Other people's opinions. Are the opinions of other people, or maybe a specific person, negatively impacting your decision to follow Jesus? A lot of people care what other people think. Have you ever been one of those people? I'm one of those people. It's the reason that every Sunday morning before I come to church, I say to Joy, "Does this look okay?" Because I care what other people think. We've all kind of been that person. People love to ruminate on what others say and let it affect our actions. I've come to realize that what Jesus is leading us to is more important and more trustworthy than the opinions of others. So why do we care so much? Well, it's human nature to want to be liked. But sometimes wanting to be liked comes at a cost that means we won't live out our purpose. When Jesus is faced with the negative opinion of others, he separates from them. He separates himself from them. Jesus is inviting you to have the faith of the dad instead of the cynicism of the laughter. There'll be times in your life when you follow Jesus, when you hear his voice, and Jesus will encourage you to do something. Or the Bible will encourage you to believe something that just kind of seems a little silly. God's not concerned if other people think your purpose is silly or less than or trivial. God's calling us, inviting us to have a faith in him that is uncommon. The second time Jesus defeats death is found in Luke chapter 7, 11 through 15. Jesus has just healed a centurion's son from a distance when we read. Soon after, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When Jesus saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were standing on, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus looks at the mom and says, don't cry. Let me be very clear. Jesus is not criticizing her for being sad. It is not wrong to cry when you go through hard times. We're learning this in our society, especially with young boys. I know when my kids were young and they would cry when they got hurt, the first thing I would tell them, don't cry. You know why? Because you got to be tough. Jesus is not afraid. In fact, and we'll go on or a little later, we'll read where Jesus cries himself. He's not afraid to be in touch with his emotions. He's not telling this mom you shouldn't be sad because your son is dead. What he's telling her is, watch this. You see, Jesus seems to be moved by people with uncommon faith. He also seems to be moved, his heart goes out to people who are hurting. I'm not criticizing the mom this morning. I'm not criticizing the men carrying him on the dead man carrying on the gurney. But I am recognizing that the idea of it is what it is, or there's nothing I can do about it, seems to be evident in this place. The cynicism that too much life teaches us that we can't do anything about things. Jesus wants to overcome that. So Jesus sees a mother who with a broken heart, and he's moved by it. If you've come to a place where you're facing a difficult situation in life and you've come to believe there's nothing you can do about it, there's nothing Jesus can do or God can do about it, Jesus wants you to overcome that. See, Jesus has invited us to believe that the impossible is possible. One of the hindrances to the impossible being possible is us even believing that it's possible. Cynicism and too much life can inhibit our ability to believe in the miraculous. John 11 is our next account of Jesus defeating death. Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. And from this account in the book of John, which is quite long, so we're not going to read the whole thing. There are some verses that I'd like to highlight because it appears that all hope is lost. In verse 16, we see Thomas has lost hope. Martha, in verse 21, we see she's lost hope for the present. She understands the scriptures that someday her brother's life will be restored, but her hope for right now is dead. In verse 32, Mary and those for caring for the family have lost hope. Both Mary and Martha say the thing we have all thought before. Jesus, if you had only been here. God, if you'd only answered the prayer that I prayed. Ever been there? We all have. That's what a real relationship between man and God is. There's honesty. There's times where God doesn't do what you want him to do. God's plan is bigger than ours, and so sometimes the way we want things to go doesn't go the way we want things to go. But there's still hope, even in the middle of the despair. God, why did you let this happen? You ever prayed that? You ever said that? If you're like me, you have. And so we read in verse 38 of chapter 11, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Sound familiar? Jesus would be on the other side of one of those in just a little while. But a stone in front of a cave is not a hindrance to Jesus. Take the stone away, he said. Martha, being really practical. But Lord, said the sister of the dead man. By this time, there's going to be a bad odor. He's been in there for 4 days. I care what other people think. I have all these people here mourning. I don't want to give them a bad experience. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloak, or a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus is incredibly moved here. Before this passage, we read John 11:35. Jesus wept. Jesus knows he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he sees the broken heart of two sisters who are close friends, and because their heart is broken, even though he knows what he's about to do, he cries for them. He weeps for them. He hates to see people hurting. When your heart is broken, Jesus' heart is broken for you. But into their complete hopelessness, Jesus is writing a different story. Into the moments where you have no hope, Jesus is writing a different story. A story that would instill hope, more hope than anyone imagined. You see, the sisters said, Jesus, if you had only been here, Lazarus would be alive. And Jesus was like, if I had only been here and Lazarus was alive, people wouldn't realize what happens in the kingdom of God. What's possible with Jesus. So Jesus comes after he dies so he can raise him again. What is it this morning that has stolen your hope? Jesus is inviting you to hope again. One final defeat of death. It's found in John chapter 20. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when he came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails are, by the way, gross, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he turned and said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. The impossible was too much of an obstacle for Thomas. He couldn't believe it. And I got to tell you, it makes sense. We can read the Bible and we can really laugh at Thomas. Oh, Thomas, you fool. You spent 3 years with Jesus. And we know what's happening. We know the end of the story. Thomas didn't know the end of the story. The impossible was too much of an obstacle for Thomas. So Jesus goes to Thomas. I want you to catch that. Jesus doesn't wait for Thomas to come to him. He goes to Thomas and invites him again. Jesus, Thomas, it's me. Stop doubting. Follow me. Nothing is too big of an obstacle for Jesus to find you and invite you to experience life with him. Death is not too big of an obstacle for Jesus, and nothing is too big of an obstacle for him to get to you. Your sin is not too big of an obstacle for Jesus to get to you. Your disbelief is not too big of an obstacle. Your life experiences, your cynicism, other people's opinions, your loss of hope are not too big for Jesus to come to you, to get to you and say, it's me. Would you follow me? What is hindering you from accepting the invitation of Jesus? Some of you hear that and you may think of that as a salvation message. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted the invitation of Jesus, today's a great day for you to do that. We're going to give you a chance to do that. In fact, you could do it right now. You don't have to wait for me to give some kind of cue. Some of you have already come to faith in Jesus, but you've stopped following Him. Something's burdened you. Something's hindered you. Something stopped you. Maybe it's another person. Maybe it's a situation in life. Maybe it's a family member you lost. Maybe it's a situation. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's other. Maybe it just seems like, I can't believe this. I need more proof. None of your hindrances are things that scare Jesus. He will come and find you and prove Himself to you. Jesus defeated death and walked out of the grave. Let me ask you this morning, what are the God-given things in your life that you thought were dead, that Jesus is inviting you, or that Jesus wants to breathe back life into? What's the dream that you had that can't be possible anymore? What's the calling that God created you for? What's the purpose that you thought you had that you think you've eliminated yourself, or you've made not possible, or you've made other people's opinions have said, you're not that. You're not good enough. What's Jesus calling and wanting to breathe life back into your dream that you thought was dead? Maybe it's the opinion of others. Maybe it's a growing tiredness in life. Is it a loss of hope? Is it the impossible? Let me tell you something. Whatever it is, it's not impossible. See, Jesus invited us to follow Him. That invitation didn't stop when He died on a cross. He invites us to walk out of the grave with Him and back into life. If you're here this morning and you're ready to follow Jesus, if you're ready to not let any obstacle stop you, today's your day. Today's the day you can have hope restored. Today's the day you can accept His invitation. We're going to pray, and I'm going to invite people to raise their hands, and sometimes that's churchy, and as a kid who grew up in church, I get uncomfortable with this part. But today's the day you get to make a decision. And so I'm going to overcome my uncomfortability by putting it on the line. Would you pray with me? Would you close your eyes? And I'm going to give you our opportunity. If you're here this morning and you're ready to follow Jesus, would you raise your hand? You can put it back down. Hand, there's a lot of hands going up. So if you want to, but you're afraid you're the only one, I can promise you, you're not the only one. Jesus, all over the room today. In fact, I'm guessing in rooms all over the planet, people are coming once again and saying, I'm ready to follow Jesus. God, would you bring hope to our hearts? Would you restore hope to the people would you restore to all of us? But I pray especially today for people who are scared. God, would you just allow them to know that you're real? Would you allow them to know that you love them? Would you allow them to know that there is exactly zero things that would hinder your invitation to them into the life that you offer? In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to share communion together. And the way we do this, if you're new with us, you're invited to participate. There's going to be four leaders of the church up here, and we invite you to stand and come to whatever aisle is closer to you, not the outside ones, but stand and come and receive the elements from the person holding the tray. And when you do that, bring those back to your seat, and we'll share them together. I'm... stuttering because I'm handing stuff out. But I invite you to stand. Nathan's going to play some worship for us as we stand. You stand and come forward and receive the elements. Thank you.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory.
Scripture teaches that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And you'll find the bread in half of your little chalice there. You can get that out. And he took the bread and he broke it. He blessed it, which means he prayed for it. And then he just told his disciples that this bread was his body that was broken for him, for them. Would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, I thank you that you allowed your body to be broken. And that because of that, we can have hope. We can receive healing. We can receive blessing. And so, God, be honored this morning as we take your bread. Would you take the bread with me? Then after, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, drink it in remembrance of me." When Jesus allowed himself to be sacrificed, he bore the weight of our sins. We talked about this Friday night a little bit if you were with us. And he paid the ultimate price. We just didn't know it. Friday happened, and it's good because Sunday came, and he won. And so we're here this morning to celebrate his victory over death. And so as we take the cup, would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that you share your victory with us. Be honored by our lives. May we live our lives in response to your sacrifice. May we offer our sacrifice back to you. In your name we pray. Would you take the cup? For those of you not standing, would you stand with us as I offer today's benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. Jesus, as we go this week, as we go today, I pray for the family dinners. I pray for the kids' fun in the yards, for the Easter egg hunts, for all the things that we do today. I pray that all of them would fall second to our reverence, hope, and appreciation for you. And that you would honor everything we do with your presence and your blessing. Be honored. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Happy Easter. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy. Oh, thank you.